Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is Ed Porter Foundation versus Victor Thompson. Mr. Mather?
May it please the court, my name is Robert Mather, representing Edgewater Foundation's successor in interest to Edgewater Hospital. This is a reimbursement dispute that goes back to 1991. In 1991, Medicare determined that it owed Edgewater Hospital approximately $6.3 million for its final cost reporting period. One day later, Medicare paid Edgewater Hospital $2.4 million. The remaining $3.9 million was used to satisfy the Medicare debt of another entity, Edgewater Medical Center, which had purchased some of Edgewater Hospital's assets. Edgewater Hospital received the remaining amounts due in 1996. In this action, it's claiming interest for the loss of its use of its funds during the interim period under a Medicare statute that provides for the payment of interest when Medicare reimbursement is not paid within 30 days of the date in which it is due. The administrator of the Healthcare Financing Administration denied Edgewater Hospital's interest claim, stating that Edgewater Hospital's Medicare provider agreement had been assigned to Edgewater Medical Center and what it said were the consequences of that. On cross motion, the Edgewater Hospital sought judicial review, and on cross motion for summary judgment, the parties argued whether the HIPAA administrator's decision was in accordance with the law and the regulations. The district court, however, addressed a new issue rather than those arguments, whether Edgewater Hospital had properly been reimbursed for a loss on the 1989 sale of its hospital assets. According to the court, if this reimbursement was not due, then there could be no assessment of interest for its late payment. The court then dismissed the case and remanded to the agency to make certain factual findings related to the loss on a sale issue. The district court's order was not the typical type of remand where it goes to the agency and says, I'd like
the first question we have to deal with, obviously, is appellate jurisdiction. And I take it that we are all in agreement that the district court has yet to decide the interest issue. Right? The argument you're making remains an open one in the district court, right?
The district court did not address the interest issue.
Exactly. So why is there appellate jurisdiction?
Well, Your Honor, this is a case where it is not where the district court sent the agency back to consider new evidence. It made a new holding, a new legal determination.
Yes, that may be true, but the thing you want us to decide has never been decided by the district court, and the district court obviously views that as a decision it needs to make in the future. Cases like Sullivan against Finkelstein seem to involve appeals from remands that actually decide the legal issue for the appeal. But here, there's a remand and no decision of the legal issue and a district court that thinks that it will decide that issue sometime in the future. And that's what gives rise to the jurisdictional problem.
Well, Your Honor, the district court dismissed the case. It said it was a final and appealable judgment and dismissed the case. It is not a case where it retained jurisdiction. It is sending the case back to an administrative agency where it may never return to the district court.
Why would it never return?
Well, the agency is...
Only if you won, I suppose. Now, if you win before the agency and you get your interest, then it won't return, but otherwise, unless you gentlemen decide that you're satisfied, it will be right back in the district court.
Your Honor, the agency would not be making a determination on the interest. The agency was asked to make specific findings regarding the loss.
Yes, so, I understand that.
And so if the agency determined everything in Edgewater Hospital's favor, that would not mean that the interest is payable.
Exactly. So you'll be back in the district court. The district court will decide the interest question, and then you can appeal if the decision is adverse.
It is not clear that we would ever get back to the district court. First of all, it is unclear whether the Provider Reimbursement Review Board would accept jurisdiction of this dispute. There's been at least one remand where it has been required to make factual findings and it has dismissed it on jurisdictional grounds.
And then I assume you'll be back in the district court instantly.
And even if the district court were to, even if the Provider Reimbursement Review Board were to decide the case, it is unclear how one would get back to the district court. There needs to
file a pleading in the district court. That's how one always gets to the district court.
Under Section 13, under the Medicare statute, you must be an adversely affected by the decision under the Administrative Procedure Act. We would have a decision that is going to make three distinct factual determinations on the law. They may very well be all in Edgewater's favor. That doesn't mean that Edgewater Hospital is going to get a payment of interest. How does then one bring a suit in the United States District Court from an administrative decision that found everything in your favor?
You go to the clerk's office, you file a complaint, you say we wanted interest, we didn't get it, and we're entitled to judicial review.
And the government would assert that is not a process.
Yes, the government would assert that, and if it wins, you can appeal, right? You're still not grappling with the question how we can have jurisdiction over a case that not only seems to be ongoing, but in which the district court has never addressed the issue you seek to present on appeal. Do any of the Supreme Court cases like Finkelstein, permit an appeal from a remand order that does not address the legal issues sought to be presented on appeal?
The Supreme Court has not, Your Honor. Some of the district courts have found a remand order appealable when there was no final decision.
From district court?
I'm sorry, Court of Appeal. This court, in Travis v. Sullivan, the district court did not make a determination on the legal issue before the district court, but sent it back for a full and fresh hearing on the issue. I believe it was because of delays. There was another case where they did not make a decision on the merits because there was a question about the waiver of legal counsel, Richmond versus Chatter. In neither case did the district court actually make a determination on the merits. What we have, the district court is setting up a second track, another distinct legal issue that is not part of this, that should not be part of this case. The distinct legal issue is the reimbursement of the loss on the sale. It is not clear to me, Your Honor, that once that the agency makes its decision on the remand, that we could get the district court challenging the interest claim. Maybe we could get the district court challenging the determination of regarding the loss on sales determinations, but that really is a separate legal action, not part of this legal action. And in those cases, the courts have found, generally, when a remand is to apply a different legal issue, which was not addressed, then that is an appealable judgment. I believe that this case has been in the administrative agency for approximately 9 years. It's been dismissed on jurisdictional grounds three times. We believe that if this case gets back to the administrative agency, we may never be in a position to file the complaint in the district court regarding the interest issue, get a determination on that issue, and then if it's satisfied with that determination, bring that to this court's attention. It's just going down there for what we believe is a useless determination, a determination that would not be part of the ultimate resolution of this case, would delay things and may, again, we believe that we would have trouble coming back to this court to get a determination on the interest claim.
I take it you disagree with Judge Anderson's finding that says if it turns out that the reimbursement was improper, then it would certainly be improper to order the government to pay interest on any late payment of that reimbursement.
Yes, sir, we clearly disagree. The interest talks about payment of a debt. If payment is not made within 30 days of the final determination of the Medicare intermediary, that is the key. The intermediary determined that the loss was reimbursable. There has been no question about the loss has been reimbursable for years. The agency has never said that the loss was not reimbursable. It's all too quick to jump on the bandwagon of this, but that is not an issue that was before the judge. It has already been decided that the loss was reimbursable, and Edgewater Hospital is not required to reestablish what it established to the government's satisfaction many years ago that the loss was reimbursable. It would be an absolute terrible burden to have to do that at this point in time. It would be approximately 15 years after the transaction. Many people have died from that. Documents have disappeared.
I don't understand what any of this has to do with jurisdiction. If the district court had decided he was going to hold a trial on this question, you might think that the trial would be entirely absurd, utterly unnecessary, but you couldn't appeal. Instead of holding the trial himself, the district court has ordered the agency to do this.
But unlike the trial, this is a decision of the district court dismissing the case and setting it back for parallel proceedings regarding a whole new issue.
Let me come back to the question about remands where the judge has never addressed the issue sought to be appealed. You cited a case that you called Travis, I think?
Travis B. Sullivan.
Where can we find this? I'm looking in your...
It is a
reply brief. I don't see it.
It is a 1993 decision of this court.
Do you have a citation? I don't know
why
you wouldn't put this in your reply brief.
895 F. Second 919. It is in our initial brief.
Okay. I'll look at it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Major. Ms. Wynn?
Good morning. My name is Constance Wynn. I'm here from the Department of Justice from the Civil Division Appellate Section representing the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Judge Easterbrook, I first would like to address your point that you addressed with plaintiff's counsel. We agree with you, and that's why we filed our motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction.
You can't agree with me. All I've been doing is asking questions.
But we agree with the implication, I think, like you're saying, in that our motion to dismiss addressed those specific questions, and therefore we believe the motion should be granted, in that the district court, as you have been pointing out, did not address the legal issue before, which was the interest question. And case law in this circuit and in other circuits and in the Supreme Court is quite clear that the purpose of the final judgment rule, section 1291, is that the role of this court is to review final decisions of the district court except in very limited circumstances. And indeed, this court has reminded counsel on repeated occasions that the exceptions to the final judgment rule are to be narrowly construed. Plaintiffs argue that the remand order, which we believe firmly is interlocutory, is reviewable under what this court has called the doctrine of practical finality. That doctrine, however, only applies typically in instances where the agency is seeking review, but it could also apply, we believe, in the case of private counsel, where the remand order is issued. It requires the agency incorporate the legal standard or evidentiary rule that on remand will perhaps most likely preclude review of the remand order itself. In this instance, the district court issued a remand requesting that the agency respond to three questions. Although the judgment order indicates that the district court said that in its view, the case was terminated and that the case was final and appealable, this court in its case has said that the words do not take precedence over form. It is clearly expected, and the district court obviously anticipated, that the agency would respond to each of these questions and therefore would then issue a final determination. For the district court indicated in its decision that it could not make a determination because it did not have enough information. And it is quite clear that where further fact-finding is required, a remand is appropriate. And in that instance, plaintiffs will then be able to not only address the propriety of the remand order itself, but also then address any possible errors the district court might commit, hopefully not, as to the merits issue involving the legal question itself.
So in your view, instead of saying this case is terminated, it should have said this case is stayed.
Well, I'm not sure if state or retain jurisdiction, yes, and we would say if this court indeed were to grant a motion to dismiss, that this court might perhaps want to, in its order, at least remind the district court that it is expected to retain jurisdiction, is retaining jurisdiction, and will be expected to issue a final decision on the legal issues, which then, of course, could be...
Well, if you and the appellant could oppose the remand, isn't it? before the district court.
No, that's an inaccurate statement. What the district court wanted to do, and agency counsel is with me at the table, is that the district court apparently wanted to have a hearing, and the counsel reminded the district court that was not its appropriate role, that it wanted further fact-finding. It was not to be done in district court's chambers in the courthouse. It had to be remanded to the agency. And so we did oppose the fact that the district court wanted to have additional fact-finding before it, but we did not oppose the remand order to the agency. And I think that what also must be pointed out is that the district court did not state to the secretary, this is not a Central DuPage case in which it's expected that the agency is going to issue a new decision, which might pose problems for jurisdictional wise. But in this case, even though plaintiff's counsel has colored the case as if we're going to actually rule on the interest question again. No, this is not an instance in which the agency is reopening the notice of provider reimbursement.
So you didn't oppose remand? Then.
No, we did not oppose remand.
Oppose the district court conducting its own hearing.
Exactly. And actually, we are very happy, and we do. The agency does intend to comply with the remand order. We'll answer the questions, and we'll submit those questions to the district court, who will then issue a final determination, which will be reviewable before this court. If this court has no further questions, we would rely on our brief, but if you'd like me to continue with the rest of my argument in terms of which would be on the order that if this court deems that this court does have jurisdiction, then our second point would be that what the district court did was definitely appropriate and was not an abuse of discretion, in that we believe the interest question is interrelated with that of the propriety of the underlying transactions and therefore did not constitute an abuse of discretion. But of course, if this court did think it was an abuse...
What would be the basis for the agency to contradict its own decision to pay the claim?
The agency would not be doing that. It would just be answering the questions, Your Honor. I mean, it could not do that unless, under the remand order, unless it reopened the proceedings. But in this instance, we will answer the question, then let the district court decide what it wants to do with the information. This is an unusual circumstance, we would agree. But whatever clarification that needs to be done can be done after the district court issues its final ruling. Because at this point, we just don't know what the district court is going to do with the information. It possibly could say he's entitled to interest, or could possibly say he's not entitled to interest. We just don't know. But it would not be provident for this court at this point to take on the issue based on mere speculation as to what the district court is going to do. But if this court were to decide that the district court remand is not interlocutory, but is final and appealable, then of course the appropriate course of action would also then to also remand it to the district court with directions to decide the case. We don't believe that it's appropriate at this stage juncture for this court to address the merits whatsoever, given that the district court has not had the opportunity to do so. Are there any further questions?
Apparently not. Thank you, Ms. Winn.
Okay, thank you. We would just rely on our brief and urge this court to grant our motion to dismiss. Thank you.
Mr. Major.
Well, I would like to bring to the court's attention a decision of the United States Court of Appeals of the 11th Circuit, MCI Telecommunications at 298 F3rd 1269.
You file a Circuit Rule 28J letter?
The decision is in fact referred to in the docketing statement, which was taken.
The rule is clear. If the decision is not referred to in the brief, you cannot bring it up at oral argument or in a supplemental letter. No bushwhacking of adverse counsel.
Your Honor, I believe that the adverse counsel...
The rule is clear, counsel.
Okay. In this case, Your Honor, we believe that this is a much stronger case than many of the Social Security cases which have been cited. In the Social Security cases, when the courts have remanded for further administrative agency, they generally related to whether the individual was disabled. That was the issue before the district court, before the administrative agency the first time. That's the decision the second time. There's different spins about the criteria, but it involves the exact same issue of disability or not disability. In this case, the remand is regarding an issue which is different. Now, the result may be the same. The result of a determination that the loss was not reimbursable may, in the district court's eyes, make that mean that interest is not being assessed, which is interest is not due, which is what the HCFA administrator determined. But on the other hand, it is a very different issue. It is setting up a parallel proceeding, a separate issue to be litigated. If the Edgewater Hospital is dissatisfied with the determination regarding the loss, it can bring an appeal to the United States District Court on that issue. But that is a distinctly different issue than the issue for the interest claim. Now, Your Honor was correct that the district court did not specifically say one way or the other about whether the HCFA administrator's decision on the interest is correct or incorrect, but it set up another issue to be tried parallel, so to speak, because if in fact it is determined that the loss is not finally reimbursable, we don't even get to the other issue. So in fact,
what do you want this court to do for you?
Your Honor, I believe that it is appropriate for this court to assume jurisdiction of this case and look at the merits of this decision. Or conversely, remand it to the district court for an order of the district court to issue a decision on the merits of as to whether the HCFA administrator's decision is consistent with law or whether it is contrary to law and should be reversed under the Administrative Procedure Act. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court